Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Some people love to tell tall tales, reporting as if true something that ultimately is unbelievable. And since everything is bigger in Texas, the tales seem to be taller, more exaggerated here. Maybe such taller tales provide an entry point for you and for me as we hear and reflect on today's Easter Gospel from St. Luke's divinely inspired Gospel account, in which the women's words about Jesus' resurrection seemed to the disciples as an idle tale. This morning, we consider that Gospel reading with the question, resurrection words, idle or productive? St. Luke's report of the faithful women who had come with Jesus from Galilee going to his tomb early on the first day of the week certainly has much in common with the other evangelists' reports, perhaps most importantly, their finding the tomb empty and hearing from heavenly messengers. But St. Luke uniquely reports some of both who the women were and how their message carried back to the disciples, perhaps even before the women themselves saw the resurrected Lord, was received by the disciples. In so doing, St. Luke describes the disciples' characterization of the woman's words with a Greek word that is used only this one time in the whole New Testament. The word modifying the women's words is variously rendered by Bible translations as idle tale or idle talk or perhaps simply nonsense. Perhaps the disciples thought the women's resurrection words were a silly joke, but perhaps more to the point, other than getting Peter to the tomb and marveling, whatever that means in this context, the women's words seem to produce no real effect. In one of my recent yoga practices, the leader was talking about something. I don't remember precisely what now, but at the time, I thought that whatever it was just sounded like nonsense. I understood the words well enough, but the way the words were strung together did not mean anything to me, and I pretty much disregarded them. Perhaps that is how the women's resurrection words seemed to the disciples. The women themselves had been perplexed about the empty tomb until the heavenly messengers appeared. And even then, the women were frightened. In many of the Bible's accounts of Jesus' resurrection, his closest followers did not seem truly to believe that he was risen until they saw him for themselves, if even then. That Holy Scripture reports their skepticism arguably goes to Scripture's credibility and ultimately comforts us, as we can also be so skeptical. Of course, by nature, we are not inclined to believe any of these things. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we do not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to us, nonsense, perhaps. And we are not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And even with the Holy Spirit, we still struggle with our fallen flesh. Like the women at the empty tomb with the angels, we may be perplexed and frightened about something in our lives. Like the disciples hearing the women, the resurrection words may seem to us to be an idle tale, nonsense. And so, in the end, we do not let those resurrection words produce any effect in us. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, because of the original sin that we inherit, and because of our actual sin that results, we deserve death now and separation from God for eternity. But God calls us and enables us to repent, to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust Him to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives our sin. All our sin, whatever our sin might be, for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks to God's love for us in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, we also are resurrected from the death that we by nature deserve to eternal life with Him. Composer George Frederick Handel's oratorio Messiah was first performed in Dublin around Easter in 1742, and since has become one of the best known and most frequently performed choral works in Western music. Often more associated with Advent and Christmas, arguably two-thirds of the oratorio centers on Jesus' passion and resurrection. In part three of the work, among other things, such as reportedly quoting from a Martin Luther hymn, lyricist Charles Jennens has the chorus sing words that we also heard in today's epistle reading. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. I can hardly hear those words read without hearing them sung to Handel's music. God's plan of salvation for you and for me necessitated the God-man's Jesus' death and resurrection. So not only the words of the Old Testament, but also as the angels told the women, Jesus' own words told how the Son of Man, Jesus Himself, must be delivered or betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. Jesus' death and resurrection for us is no tall tale or idle talk, but prophecy and its fulfillment. I'm the first to admit that at times my sermons may sound to you as my yoga leader's teachings that I mentioned sounded to me, as words strung together without meaning. In today's gospel reading, the angels told the women to remember Jesus' words, and the women did remember His words. St. Luke does not say whether or not they also believed them, but he does report their telling everything to the disciples. To be sure, whether God's resurrection words through the angels to the women, or whether God's resurrection words through me to you, God genuinely wants to use and does use His resurrection words to create faith. In order for people to obtain saving faith and so obtain the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, God gave the office of the Holy Ministry for the preaching of His resurrection words, and for the administration of His resurrection words in His sacraments. Some church fathers understand the day of our Lord's resurrection, the first day of the week, as the day of re-creation, and so they connect it with the eighth day of different Old Testament festivals and rites, such as circumcision, which took place on the eighth day. For us, the day of our baptisms is essentially the eighth day of recreation, and that's recalled by our eight-sided baptismal font. In Holy Baptism, St. Paul describes to the Colossians that we who were dead in our trespasses are buried with Christ and made alive together with Him, all of our trespasses having been forgiven in Holy Baptism. And so baptized, and then also individually absolved, we are admitted to the sacrament of the altar. Whereas we remember him as he commands by eating bread and drinking wine, he himself is present with his body and with his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and so also for life and salvation. Here, the resurrected Lord gives life to you and to me. By his resurrection words in all of these forms, the Lord wills to bring and efficaciously does bring us to faith, sustains us in the faith, and transforms our lives, such as leading us to tell others, regardless of their reaction. But all of that, if only we do not resist and reject his working in these ways. Ultimately, our response, either of unrepentance and unbelief, or of repentance and faith, answers the question of whether the resurrection words are for us idle or productive. Perhaps today's gospel reading serves us by, to some extent, leaving open whether or not the disciples got past their thinking the women's resurrection words were an idle tale, forcing us to ask ourselves whether or not we make the same judgment. We know from the rest of the New Testament that after personal appearances by the resurrected Lord, the disciples and the women did repent and believe. The resurrected Lord appears here for you and for me. May God grant that we always likewise repent and believe.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.